And they got Esther Marcells and Blue Moon, and any Manchester City fans, I think that they used to be, or, you know, when you never walk alone. I'm not sure, still might be. Okay, in studio I have Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan, and I also have Winona Hawter, a CEO of Food and Water Watch USA. Good afternoon to you both, ladies.
Afternoon.
Hello.
Okay, I'll talk to you first, Lynn. There's an event happening tonight. We'll talk about it. You can get it in again later on, but what is happening tonight?
So currently Winona is on a tour of Britain and Ireland, highlighting the risks of fracking, which is deep drilling to release natural gas. It's quite environmentally damaging, but also she's wrote a book on it called Fracopoly, and about the experience of communities. So we were delighted to be able to bring Winona to Dublin to highlight the dangers, and that's happening in Third Space in Smithfield tonight at half seven.
Half seven, Third Space. Winona, we have legislation coming in as she said earlier on, as Lynn said earlier on, that it's just to go to the Shannon, but it's a foregone conclusion, but we still have the North. How wide ranging can the effects be of fracking, for instance? We don't have it, but they bring it in the North. How would it affect us in the South, or would it?
Well, it would. It's one island, and we know that the effect of drilling very deep underground and then horizontally and using high pressurized water and chemicals, that underground, no one really knows how the contaminants and the water flows. So it is very possible that that contamination could come south into the Republic and affect water resources. Also, the air pollution around the infrastructure for the use of gas can be very damaging. And of course, wherever there is fracking, they have to build infrastructure to move the gas, and then the processing facilities. So we are really a cautionary tale in the United States. Okay. The impacts have been just completely devastating in a number of the states where fracking has taken place.
And is it banned in any of the states at all?
It is banned in some states. We have been able to, with a lot of the community groups that are that fear impacts, have been able to ban it in places like New York State, Maryland. More than 500 communities across the country have had some kind of either a moratorium or a ban in their community. Mm-hmm. And there are many more of these efforts that are ongoing. And then, of course, part of what we're seeing in the U.S. and around the world are all of the concerns about the methane emissions, because whether you are fracking for oil or natural gas, there is a lot of leakage of methane. And methane is a very potent greenhouse gas in the first 10 to 20 years after it's emitted. In fact, the first 10 years after it's emitted, more than 100 times more potent than carbon dioxide.
Okay. The thing about it is there now, I'm not being flippant, but I mean, there was a lot of talk, mostly in agricultural companies. The cows were getting blamed on everything. But this is a serious subject as well, as regards this type of thing. And as far as European countries, now Ireland is sort of an example where it was stopped before it came in. Is there any other European countries that have done the same thing?
Well, there are countries that have various moratorium and bans. For instance, Germany has now banned fracking in many sensitive areas of the country and really shrunk down where the corporations could operate. Bulgaria banned fracking. France has a type of ban. So we do see this, that there's lots of concern in Europe. And in fact, there's really no fracking going on the continent right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I first came across it, I think, 8 years ago in Sheffield, when there was a big moratorium on it there at the time. And then I start talking about it in Ireland. So in Britain, it's sort of tethering, but you know, you're concerned about Scotland.
Yes, and in fact, Scotland has passed legislation. There's a very good chance that by the end of the year, Scotland will ban fracking. Okay. So these are very good measures. But we're also concerned about other aspects of the infrastructure that's moving natural gas to Europe and to Ireland. We see that the fracked gas from Pennsylvania, and that's a very impacted state in the U.S., because of the overproduction of gas, the price is very low, and so now some of the hydrocarbons are being exported, so natural gas liquids, and those are being exported to make plastic. And they're shipped in these very large vessels called dragon ships, and they're going from the United States, the Philadelphia, there's an export terminal going across the Atlantic to places like Grangemouth in Scotland.
Okay, is this a new tender now to the campaign?
Well, sounds we're very like concerned about the use of fossil fuels,
okay,
because of the climate impact.
But do you not think sometimes when you sort of change the tenure of what you started off with, it gets complicated and people sort of back away from it, don't understand it, whatever, for whatever reason? How do you feel about that?
Well, we don't see it as really a different issue.
Maybe one dilutes the other by making it complicated.
No, actually, the natural gas pipelines and the terminals in the United States have been very much part of the campaign to ban fracking, because we're talking about using part of the gas that's been fracked to make plastic. And these are pipelines that are going across people's property, and then bringing the natural fracked gas across to Europe. People are having the impacts in the frontline communities and where the plastic is actually being manufactured.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, but I suppose also it's making the connection. Ireland is one of the first countries to divest from fossil fuels, mm-hmm, and it was great to see the Dáil vote for that. But you have to make the connection for people. It's great if we can ban fracking in Ireland and the South, if we can get it on an all-island basis, which we've heard why that's essential. But it's also about making that connection for people going, you can't be then importing the fracked gas, because if you believe that it's a bad idea for communities, then it's a bad idea for the communities it's happening
as well. Yeah, it's a contradiction in terms, really.
Yeah, I mean, in Ireland, look, we need to be moving to renewables. That's, we're part of the European Union. We have targets to meet, so we do need to be looking in that direction, as opposed to, I suppose, you know, just reinforcing the promotion of fossil fuels. We need to move away from them and lead by example in Ireland.
Okay, I might as well sort of just get off the fracking for a little bit and to do it and talk about yourself. You sort of have the idea to an extent that we need to have a little bit more say in Europe, not let the Germans and the French sort of take over. Do you not think that they sort of know that and they've learned a lesson with Britain backing out, and sort of a lot of countries, sort of a lot of rumbling is going on saying, well, we're not happy with what's going on either. We're thinking about it too. So do you not think that there's maybe softening up a little bit? Or
no, I think they're putting out sound bites that are, you know, nice words about how we need to return to a social Europe, but the actions are very different, and they still believe in that the market trumps everything else. So the market trumps the social. What Sinn Féin would like to see for the European Union is radical reform.
Unfortunately, using the word Trump there.
Well, we won't even get started on Donald. But no, we want to see radical reform of the European Union. Our position would be that certain competencies should be returned to the member state and not be decided at a European level. And where it makes sense to make decisions at an EU-wide level, then those decisions should be taken. For example, climate change, Ireland on its own is not going to solve the problem, so we need to work together.
As with the fracking.
Yeah, but on issues of defence, I mean, and most people in Ireland, I mean, we're a neutral country, and we're hearing now Donald Trump talking about 2% expenditure on, building your military capabilities. I don't think most people in Ireland would want to spend 2% of GDP on the arms industry, but they're not being given that information. The decisions are being taken, and by the time...
Well, how do you go about changing everything? I mean, it's a big ask.
It's permitted under the Lisbon Treaty. It's the Laeken Declaration permits to have a large-scale conference to decide about competencies and which powers should be decided at an EU level and which powers could be returned to the member states. That's the position we believe we need to be looking at. As I said, neutrality needs to be enshrined in as a protocol like the Danes have got. But it's not just about that. It's about the neoliberal agenda that the European Union has been pursuing. We've seen our postal services privatised and we've seen the devastating impact that's had. We think that there certainly needs to be a huge conversation about how the EU does its business, and tinkering around the edges isn't going to cut it.
But the whole political structure in the world is changing now. I mean, with governments, you can see the fractionist nature of everything that's happening, and people are just fed up with everything, as a matter of fact. And it's getting the structures back. I mean, having a tenuous government is no good. You need something stable.
No, but I think
so
what you
there has to be a good alternative put in place.
And
what you have
seen, because you've seen the rise of the extreme right across Europe, and the media has spent a lot of time focusing on that. But what they haven't been looking at is where there's a credible left alternative, people are going for that option. Mm-hmm. And because it's people are feeling disenfranchised.
But they're not getting enough support.
But they're also not feeling this drip down economy. It's not reaching them, so mm-hmm. they're in precarious work if they're lucky to be in work, and so they're looking for somebody who's reaching out to them. And unfortunately, in where you're seeing the rise of the right, they're exploiting those people. But what Jeremy Corbyn has proved is that where you offer a credible alternative, that's the option people will go with, and it's not the fascist elements.
That's the point I'm making. They'll go that way, like what happened here with the small independent parties, but they just don't get enough support to form a government, and that is the problem. Isn't it?
It is. I mean, look, it's a challenge. If the left can't convince the voters, well, then the left has to look at ourselves, and we mm-hmm. have to learn how to communicate our message better and how to reach out to people and convince them that there is a different way of doing things. It is an uphill battle. But what you're seeing in Ireland, and if you follow the trends in the elections, is that every time we've had an election now, the two centre-right parties, the civil war parties, are losing that hold. And for the first time ever, we've got more than 50% of the population are voting for somebody other than those two parties. Mm. And that's a welcome trend. We need to break that monopoly of those two parties.
It's welcome. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's welcome. But just listening to the people on the street, as I said earlier on, the support is not fully there for to put enough into formal government anywhere. But at the same time, sometimes when they get a little bit of, like what's happened here, a little bit of power, as you could put it, or given an office of some kind, when they turn out no differently from what's in there already.
Well, you don't have the progressives in the government
not
at the moment.
The examples that they've been shown is that no matter who you put in, that they seem to form and morph into what's already been in, and nothing changes.
I don't think so. I think the problem was that you've seen the likes of a Labour Party, a Social Democratic Party, going in with a centre-right party and being eaten up. If you really want to have change, you have to find people who have like-minded ideas. Mm-hmm. So what we would always call out is, let's have a progressive coalition of parties working together that are actually going to deliver change.
Okay.
If you go in with a right-wing party that's much larger than yourself, you're going to end up being implementing right-wing policies.
Okay, well, getting back to Europe, do you think it's on the cards that things will have to change?
I think the arrogance that's out there is that it's not going to happen in the immediate future. But I think if they continue in the manner they are, then Brexit is only the first, and there will be more countries mm-hmm. who'll vote to leave, or you're going to have the rise of the extreme right and those parties getting into government.
Okay. And I'll come back to you, Anna, just to mention again, Lynn, that meeting tonight.
Yeah, we're encouraging people to come along. It's in the Third Space, which is a social enterprise in Smithfield. It's a discussion from Winona talking about the experience of America, particularly from the communities, the health, the environmental impacts, and why we need an all-island ban, and that we shouldn't stop now because we're getting the ban in the south. We need to to continue and ensure that we have that ban for the island of Ireland. We also have Barry Finnegan from ATAC, who's talking about the, I suppose, the possible risks around the trade deals and this ISDS mechanism and how it can undermine bans on various social policies. So it'll be an interesting discussion tonight. We're encouraging people to come along and hear from Winona herself of the experience of fracking and why, as I said, we need an all-island ban, but also why we need to stop importing fracked gas.
Mm-hmm. As I said, I heard about it eight, maybe longer, over in Sheffield many years ago. But now with the outcome of social media, how much of a help is that to the campaign?
Well, it's been a big help in the campaigns. It's much more difficult in the U.S. to get lots of coverage from the larger mainstream press. Mm-hmm. So social media has definitely played a role. And so has all of the education of the really hundreds of thousands of people in the states where we've been successful. We've had large numbers of people getting involved and going out and talking to their friends and neighbors, putting pressure on their elected representatives, because where we've had success in the U.S., we have had a political agenda in getting rid of fracking. So, for instance, in New York, we focused our attention on the governor. In Maryland, it was on the state legislature. And we've even had our most conservative political party, the Republicans. For instance, in Maryland, the Maryland governor had so much pressure put on him that he signed the ban fracking legislation, which was the last step in banning fracking in the state. And we see other places like Florida, which is a very conservative state, where the legislation that's been introduced to ban fracking has been by Republicans, because we've been able to put political pressure on those elected officials.
I suppose that's one of the big advantages as well of the states, that each individual state can make its own mind up. You know what I mean? To that extent, that they can, I mean, no matter who says it, the president even, they can say, no, we're not doing that. Each individual state has that right.
Right. Well, the oil and gas industry is largely regulated at the state level, and so it has been an advantage, and our strategy won't change, even though Trump has been elected. Now, there are federal impacts. For instance, the oil and gas industry was exempted under George W. Bush from having to meet the requirements of our Safe Drinking Water Act. So we would like to be able to eventually do something at the federal level, but we have a lot of work to do at the local and state level, both work to educate people, but a lot of political work as well.
Okay, the message tonight, I'll let you get in again. This talk is on tonight, Lynn. Just get it in there before we finish off. And I thank you very much for both.
So half seven tonight, Smithfield Third Space Cafe, and everybody is welcome.
Will you be heading up north?
I've been north.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have?
I've already been north. So this is the last stop on my trip, but had a very interesting stop in the north, where people are really interested in banning fracking.
And Scotland as well, what was the reaction?
Scotland, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much both for coming in. I enjoyed that conversation, and educated as well. That's what I like about the show. I get educated all the time. It doesn't cost me sense.
Thanks so much.
Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan, and also Winona Hawtor, CEO of Food and Water Watch USA. Thank you very much, ladies.